Whit Merrifield, leadoff batter. He goes in the air to left field. That ball's way back, and that's a piece of history. Goodbye, home run. That is going to tie the all-time mark for most home runs surrendered in a season by a team.
And the Baltimore Orioles still have 35 games to play, so they're going to blow away that record. Royals should have broken the record, but only one run. That was it. The highlight, Whit Merrifield's home run. Whit's 15th of the year. Mike Montgomery bitten by the home run ball last night. Gives up 5 runs, 3 homers, and 5 innings of work, although he's pitched very well recently. Jake Newberry goes to the IL. Kyle Zimmer has been called up. The Royals back in action today, and they're already tied. And it's not 0-0. 4-4. 10th inning. They're going to resume play in Boston. That's that game that got suspended due to weather a few weeks ago. It's supposed to be the Royals' off day. The Royals are 41-74 right now. So that's not right. I'm going to say they're 45-82. And then they put their record 41-74 up to that point when they were playing the Red Sox. I was like, what? the Royals last night clinched a losing season by losing. The best they can do is win their last 35 and go 80-82. It's the best they can do. So the Royals lose. Ned Yost talks about the offense, which Dozier and Soler were hot for a while, but now they've cooled off.
The problem that we're having right now is that earlier in the month, we were scoring some runs. The Doge was hot and Soler was hot, and now they've kind of cooled off a little bit. And, you know, Cuthbert is working like an 0 for 40, and we're just struggling offensively, so we just couldn't get enough runs back on the board to make it matter.
Royals lose 8-1 to Baltimore. Baltimore, one of the worst teams in baseball, so are the Royals, of course. Baltimore takes 2 out of 3 in Baltimore. They'd come in with a long losing streak, but they get a little bit healthier after playing the Royals there in Baltimore. So Royals against the Red Sox today at 12:05. They will resume that game, and then they will be in Cleveland tomorrow to start a 3-game set against the Indians, who are fighting for first place in the Central with the Minnesota Twins. One of the big notes last night in baseball, the biggest upset in a baseball game in 15 years. Detroit Tigers, who are really, really bad, taking on former Tiger Justin Verlander in Houston. Verlander was awesome. Complete game, 11 strikeouts, but gave up 2 solo homers. And the Tigers won 2-1.
Yeah.
It was the biggest upset based on the Vegas odds for a game in 15 years. So just when you think something's a given, you get bit if you bet on the Astros to beat the Tigers last night.
Now, I would not touch baseball with a 10-foot pole.
Not individual games, no. Well, series maybe, but not individual games. I think that's insane if you're betting individual games. Now, if you want to bet an over-under for fun in regards to runs scored, that's kind of fun. Like if you got 2 star pitchers and you know the over-under is 6 runs and you think it's going to be lower than that. I mean, but betting on a game that, you know, the Astros, they want to win as many. The Tigers don't really care, but they'll play loose. I mean, I don't get why you bet on a game like that myself, except that you think you're going to have such an easy win, but there's nothing easy in betting. Nothing.
No. 162 of these things.
Exactly.
Like, you're not winning every one of them, so you're going to have a day where you just don't come out and play very well.
Listen, if it's game one of the playoffs and it's the Tigers versus the Astros in the same situation, I might be betting on the Astros to win that game, but... Yikes. Yeah, Verlander was awesome, but gave up 2 solo homers. And the Astros lose to the mighty Tigers yesterday. We were talking about this the other day. Kenbrook Tennell, we were talking about how amazing he is as a coach. And there was a story in the Topeka Capital Journal about Kenbrook Tennell, the head volleyball coach, or was at Centralia, and girls basketball coach as well. And we went through some of the numbers, and they were mind-blowing. He won 94% of his volleyball matches, a head volleyball coach, 791 wins, 49 losses, holds the Kansas record for career winning percentage. He also combined between basketball and volleyball, won 92% of his games or matches. But Dusty did a little more research. I asked him to do that to give you a little bit more to add to the story, which would have been, Brent Maycock does a nice job, but I think he could have really added to the story. But maybe he was limited on how many words he could put in the story and this and that with the paper, although online you could expand. At Nemaha Valley, Kenbrook Tennell's record as a volleyball coach at Nemaha Valley, buckle your seatbelt and get ready for this one because I'm not lying, 298 wins and 3 losses. He won 99% of his matches as volleyball coach at Nemaha Valley. From 88 to 95, they won six state championships, 88, 89, 90, 92, 94, 95. Runner-up in 91 and 93. State record 137-match winning streak from 1988 to 1990. He went to Centralia. He was at Centralia from 07 to 18. His record there was pretty impressive. He won 92% of his matches at Centralia. Five more state titles, then runner-ups three times, and third and two other times. Here's the amazing thing to me. All of it's amazing. In 20 seasons, Kimbrook Tennell, a head volleyball coach in Nemaha Valley Centralia, in 20 seasons, 11 state titles. And only one time in 20 years did a team that he coached in volleyball not make it to state. 19 out of 20 years, his volleyball team he coached made it to state. And here's the crazy thing. Every single time they made it to state, they always made it to the second day. They never got eliminated in pool play. Never.
No.
Ever, ever, ever. Which means that when they went to state, they always made it to the semis. Always. 15 state volleyball championships for Centralia, 13 under the Tennels. That would be Kimbrook and his wife, Kim. They won eight straight titles from 1997 to 2004. Yeah, so really you could give Kimbrook even more credit if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Because Kim was technically a head coach and he helped out. The Tennels, amazing. They're moving to Iowa from what we've been told. And I talked to a friend of mine that used to know from Centralia. And she got me the Tennels phone number so that I could contact him if I like to sometime. So that's pretty awesome because I'm going to do that at some point when I have a chance. So I wish them congratulations and best of luck in their retirement or going to Iowa and being with their kids. So that's just that. I mean, that's I stutter because I can't. You can't come up with an adjective or a superlative to describe that, can you? I mean, incredible doesn't even do it justice.
No.
Astonishing, insane. I mean, what adjective do you use to accurately describe a volleyball coach that went 298-3 in eight seasons at one school, 99% winning percentage, and then goes to Centralia, wins 92% of his matches, his career 94%, 20 seasons, only one time his team didn't make it to state, and that was a 2010 Centralia team, which I'm sure they're proud to hear that, although I guarantee they're still good.
Yeah.
And so all 19 times I made it to state on Kimbrook Tennell, they always got out of pool play. It's just astonishing.
You have to come up with a new word, kind of like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, like that.
God,
long
you
that,
said it.
That
I
would
can't
be
see that.
That would be that would be long enough to describe what this actually is.
That's insane. So we just want to put a bow on that. We're talking about that the other day. Those numbers do the Tennels even more justice. You know, Brent did a nice job with the story, but these numbers give it even more. More bang for the buck, I guess you could say, and it's just flat out.
Well, yeah, because he didn't have his Nemaha Valley record in there.
No, and which I don't know how you don't put that in there.
He mentioned
the winning streak, but he didn't mention his record at Nemaha Valley.
Yeah.
He didn't mention how many. Well, he did. I think he did say when he won six titles.
Yeah,
in the Valley,
but I'm just like, okay,
never put a winning percentage in the story either.
Yeah.
Which that's one I don't. That's what really sells it for anybody out there.
Yeah,
anybody can put. Well, wow, a lot of wins, not many losses. That's impressive.
Yeah.
You win 99% of your matches out of school. That gets your attention.
Yeah, because it's easy for me to get Centralia's record.
Sure.
Based on your website that you used to have. You know, I can go on there and see all the records that they had there.
Right.
And then state championships back to – or state tournaments back to 07.
Yeah.
So I had to – I just deducted
what
he did at Centralia. I'm like, he only lost three times?
You know, it's funny because you were saying that, and I was, you know, doing multiple things at the same time, which usually happens around here. But when I see this on paper – I do remember that was what I had when I was doing state volleyball Centralia. I remember 298-3.
Yeah,
I do.
It's insane. Like I was like, surely he. I don't know. I was like, I was sitting here like, I don't know where this guy got his record at, but he had 46 losses already at Centralia. So there's no way he had 49. And I'm like, I looked like three different places, and that was the same record everywhere. And I'm like, okay, yeah, he did.
Three losses at Nemaha Valley. One was in the state volleyball championship in 91. Third place, he lost in the semifinals in 93. So there's only one match during the regular season. He only lost one regular season volleyball match at Nemaha Valley in eight seasons. I give up. I can't describe it. I'm just astounding. It's astounding. Okay, so that puts a bow on that. We talked about the Royals. Let's move on to KU football. We're going to talk more of Brian Heaney, the voice of the Jayhawks. Well, first of all, KU's made some major strides. There's no question about it. One, they're selling alcohol at the games, which is something that's been needed for quite some time since KU football has been so god-awful. And just to put some butts in the seats, this is honestly, this is smart. It's smart by KU football. Did you see this a few days ago?
I did.
Yeah. This KU Athletics introducing football season discount ticket discounts for State of Kansas employees with verification of the state agency. The discount applies for a maximum of two season tickets and is available at any of the four season ticket price levels. And you can access it online and through the KU Athletics website. So you're a state employee of the state of Kansas, and you want a discount, and you want to go watch KU football and see how good or how much better they're going to be under Les Miles, you can get a discount. It's a good idea. I'll admit it. It's a good idea. As I've had friends tell me, the alcohol part, yeah, they missed that by about 7 years. But hey, whatever. We'll talk more about Brian Heaney, the voice of the Jayhawks, and find out how things are going with Les Miles, the quarterback situation, and how's KU going to replace Andrea Hootie, their strength and conditioning coach for the KU men's basketball team? They still haven't filled that position yet. And what are the realistic expectations for KU football this year? And you know, you and I have discussed this a little bit, and that is that, you know, last year KU did win three games. I think a lot of people don't realize that or forgot. They did win three games last year. They were competitive in a few others. Kansas last year wasn't that far away from winning four or five games. They really weren't. Of course, they won the first game against Nichols, and Puka Williams didn't play in that game, and he's not going to play in the season opener August 31st against Indiana State because of the, I'll say it, silly one-game suspension. I mean, if you're going to suspend him, it should have been more than one, or you don't suspend him at all, whatever. But that's beating a dead horse to death again. But they lost to Nichols last year. They won that game. That's four wins. They would add three non-con wins, and they had a Big 12 win. Who did they beat in the Big 12?
Oh, it just dropped out of my mind. Oh, TCU.
That's right,
yeah,
TCU.
It was 27-26, like one.
That's right, because they fumbled the ball and had a whole bunch of injuries. Yeah. TCU did in that game. So Kansas really isn't as far away from winning four or five games as you might think. Now, if you think a few years ago, yeah. But last year, they were a little bit better. Some people even argued David Beatty should be given another year because he's showing some progress. But on the recruiting trail, he was showing no progress. And Les Miles has already made a ton of progress in a short period of time. Part of it's his name. Part of it's his coaches he hired to be on his staff. KU's opened up the purse strings, given them a bigger budget to go recruiting. They're trying to give him better facilities and everything else. So Les Miles has had more tools to work with than David Beatty, in fairness to David Beatty. By the way, there's still a lawsuit from David Beatty versus the University of Kansas about his $3 million he's owed. Another story for another day when they ever get some closure on that. But what are the realistic expectations for KU football? Here's their schedule, all right? Let's just go through this because we've done this before with teams, but not this year in regards to any of the colleges. We did it with the Chiefs. And we came up with 15-1 for the Chiefs, so we feel pretty solid about that. Okay, KU's got Indiana State August 31st at 11 a.m., pregame at 10:30 on Z96.3 The Lake. You're home for the Jayhawks in North Central Kansas. Indiana State with no Puka Williams, win or lose?
I think they'll still win that one.
Okay, against Coastal Carolina at home, week two, win or loss?
I got to win.
At Boston College, September 13th.
Loss.
Me too. Home against West Virginia, who just lost maybe their best defensive player, ineligible for the rest of the season. He was a transfer from Alabama, who was a really good pass-rushing guy. That hurts their defense. New coach, new quarterback. KU has him at home, Big 12 opener. What you got?
I'm calling it a win.
I've got it a win as well. Now think about that. If KU starts 3-1, KU then goes to TCU. Alex Delton could be playing quarterback for TCU, which means I would say he have a chance to win. I'm not saying Delton's a horrible quarterback, but he is one-dimensional unless he's gotten better throwing the ball. At TCU, week five, win or loss?
I'm calling it a loss.
I'm calling it a loss because KU beat him last year.
Yeah.
Oklahoma, should we even bother with that one?
No,
loss.
That's a loss.
That's at home. At Texas, I'll say
loss. Yeah.
Texas Tech at home.
It could go either way. I've got it as a loss. But
okay, I'll go loss. Kansas State at home.
Same thing. It honestly could go either way, but I'm calling it a loss.
I'm going to say they get one of those two.
Okay. Yeah.
At Oklahoma State?
Loss.
At Iowa State?
Loss.
Baylor at home?
I've got it as a loss, but I don't.
You got it as a loss.
I got them going the same as last year, 3-9, 1-8.
You got 3-9?
Yeah.
3-9.
But see, I mean, there's games there that I'm, you know, that could go either way. I'm not
absolutely.
I'm not sitting here saying guarantee, mark it down, book it. This is what's going to happen because they're going to be better.
Texas Tech and Baylor and K-State all at home.
Yeah,
and you've got them losing all three of those. Surely they're going to win one of those.
They probably will.
That's why I'm sitting here going 4-8.
Yeah, so realistically, they'll probably go 4-8. But
I would say 4-8 would be.
And I
would,
did all this the other day, so I pulled it up.
Sure. 4-8. I think there's a chance they could go 5-7. I mean, if you get, you know, I mean, if you somehow win at Boston College, you start 3-0 and you beat West Virginia. Now you're 4-0. Now you're sitting there going, we're going to a bowl, which I think would be a little bit. I mean, 5-7. We already talked about how you can be a losing team and get a bowl game.
So, I mean, if you start 4-0, that's a whole different dynamic to where you're going to go. And I know that 3-1 is too, but 3-1 is a win at Boston College would do a lot to just kind of change, I think, their mentality the rest of the season.
I think at best they're 5-7. And I think more realistically, I think 4-8. I don't think they'll be 3-9. I think they'll find a way to get 4. But I still. Until they get a really good quarterback, I just don't think
that's where I'm at. It's like
get
if I see like if McVitie just comes out and shines,
which they haven't even named their starter yet.
Yeah, but I'm just, you know, I'm using an example there. And if he does, if he's a starter and comes out and does really well, then I feel like 4, maybe 5.
Yeah,
but I don't. They're not getting 500.
The ceiling is 5.
Yeah,
is what you're saying, and then that's what I'm saying too. I guess there's a way to get the 6. There certainly is because the Big 12. You look at
you win all TCU's three of those games that we said were toss-ups, then you're 6.
Right. I mean, if you win the
of course, we gave them West Virginia.
If you get West Virginia, Texas Tech, K-State, and Baylor, which every one of those games is at home.
Yeah.
You get those 4, and you win the first 2, and you lose at Boston College, that's 6.
They've got the teams that are going to be
not as good are going to be at home.
At home.
Yeah.
You know, they go to Oklahoma, they go to Oklahoma State and TCU.
K-State
on the road, you know, and so they've got definitely opportunities.
No question.
At Memorial Stadium there.
The quarterback thing just still keeps me. I want to say 5-7 with conviction, but the quarterback situation just makes me pause a moment and I got to be a chicken and go to 4-8. But 5-7. If they go 6-6, I'd be impressed.
Oh, I think
and that might be a bad thing in regards to all of a sudden the expectations shoot through the roof for Les Miles and KU. Les Miles. We've heard a lot of from Kansas State here last week or two. Les Miles talks about the running back situation as Puka Williams not going to play week one, but they do have a stable of pretty good running backs.
First of all, they're similar in skills, but there's differences too. Okay, in other words, you look at great speed and ability to cut and maneuver. All three of those guys have that. Okay, great speed, maybe one, maybe two. Physicality, maybe all three. I mean, so what you do is you end up making sure that the guy that can catch that, you know, long thrown ball, he's the guy that goes out. You know, you affix those three, and I think those guys are going to give us some exciting moments.
Good friend Max texted me, I expect a Big 12 championship. He's a big KU fan, but he says, I think we'll be 7-5, and I'm serious. Wow. Max, I'm going to just tell you right now. If Kansas goes 7-5 this year, you got my number, obviously. You texted me. I'll buy you a steak dinner.
And I'll take you out the next night.
And Dusty will take you out the next night or the next time you want to go out for a steak dinner. I will buy a steak dinner. Dusty will buy a steak dinner. All right? If KU goes 7-5 or better. Now suddenly I got to cheer against Kansas, so I don't have to pay for a steak dinner. No, I'm kidding.
Well, I do it anyway. No.
Well, yeah, you're wearing purple right now.
Did I say that aloud?
Listen, if they go 7-5, that means they beat K-State and Lawrence.
Oh, without question.
You know, no doubt.
And they win at Boston College.
Probably.
I mean, that's the only way I can think. I mean, we gave you the road game.
Well, I mean, you know, if you lose to Boston College, you beat West Virginia, you beat TCU. Now you're 4-1. Then you get Texas Tech 5, K-State 6, and Baylor 7.
Yeah.
You could. I think now we're starting to dream.
So you're gonna have to win one. What I'm saying is, you're gonna win one of those road games probably gonna happen. I don't think, but
I don't think Boston College is gonna be, you know, lights out. By the way,
no, they're not. No,
but still, it's our first road game in the situation. All right, so Max is writing this down. I'm gonna hold you to that. Yeah. Now wait a minute. If KU goes less than 7-5, does Max buy us steak dinner?
Probably not.
Probably not. I don't.
I'm cool with
it. I don't blame him.
Yeah,
Max has already taken care of me before. All right, Les Miles on the winning timetable and changing the culture.
Bill McCartney at Colorado took a second year, then a third year, yet again, and then I think in the fourth year he won a national championship. So I was fortunate to be on his staff. Oklahoma State, I think there was a couple of really big wins in the first year and a couple of big wins in the second year and bowl games and thereafter. So I don't know. I don't know exactly the timetable, but I bet on us. So one way or the other.
All right, there you go. Les Miles pretty confident on that. There's no doubt I think they'll be improved. And they, I think, will win more than three. Dusty says 3-9. I'll say 4-8 with a hedge towards 5-7. But anything above that, I would be a little bit surprised. And Dusty would be, too. So we'll see how it all plays out. Voice of Jayhawks coming up in a few minutes. If you're an NFL team and you need a kicker, you might want to sign Carly Lloyd, the World Cup women's star. More of a veteran this year, been a star in the past. She kicked a training camp with the Eagles and nailed a 55-yard field goal. The Bears need help for kickers. They haven't got one yet. So Carly Lloyd, that would be an unbelievable story, wouldn't it? If a woman this big became a kicker in the NFL, that's all she had to do is kick field goals.
I think she could do as good as Cody Parkey.
She could do as good as a lot of kickers. I would have taken her over Lynn Elliott back in the mid-90s.
The way it looks, for sure.
Heck yeah. Other NFL news, Melvin Gordon and the Chargers still at an impasse. Sounds like Gordon's going to miss some regular season games, and I think the Chargers are like, we're still good without you. I think Melvin Gordon's going to lose some leverage unless the Chargers start out really slow and have some injuries to running backs. And Ezekiel Elliott expected to be ready to go by week one and sign with the Cowboys or at least end his holdout. I would think that'll get done before the first game of the season, but we shall see. The XFL, I don't know exactly when they're starting, but anyway.
February 2020.
Right, February 2020, so yep. Right after the Super Bowl, which is smart.
Just like the last one that folded did.
Right. It didn't last very long, what, 4 weeks or something like that? Here are your eight team names. Dallas Renegades, DC Defenders, Houston Roughnecks, Los Angeles Wildcats. Wow, original. New York Guardians. Where's the Tigers in this thing? Seattle Dragons, St. Louis Battlehawks, and the Tampa Bay Vipers. Which one do you like the best out of all those? Renegades, Defenders, Roughnecks, Wildcats don't count, because I know you like Wildcats. Guardians, Dragons, Battlehawks, Vipers.
I like Renegades and Vipers,
yeah,
myself.
Me too. Those are the two I like. Yeah.
If I had to pick.
I kind of like Dragons too, but those are cool names.
Yeah.
Roughnecks.
And Dragons is one that's been out there before too, so
true.
That's kind of...
So is Vipers.
Yeah.
At the minor league level.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I like it. It's good. Works for me. So those are XFL team names. They'll start, and we'll see how long they last in February of 2020.